Interlude, like a casket. Abandoned Vampire AU, written by Her Love Was a Joke and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is Jen, and is the fourth story in the Screaming Down the Starlit Sky universe. For more information about author's notes and additional warnings, please check out the introductory post on my lab journal. No one did melodrama quite like the Dandies. Flair and panache were the hallmarks of their existence, and to say they delighted in it was an understatement. Still, there were some who were more reserved about their style than the others, and leave it to Gabriel to have raised one himself. He leaned back against the fine leather seat, enjoying the luxury of his limo, and eyed the younger vampire beside him. Robert Breyer had been a good man in life, well respected and loved by his people. As a vampire, he was still respected, still loved, but now with the added edge of deep-seated terror. Gabriel had raised him well, had given him every opportunity to learn his craft, and in return, Breyer would surely lay down his life for Gabriel's in a heartbeat. His loyalty, unfortunately, didn't include keeping his sarcasm to himself. "Honestly, Gabe," Breyer said, "a clandestine meeting in the middle of nowhere, to which we're arriving by limo." "You have no appreciation for art," Gabriel sighed. "There's art and then there's Hollywood stupidity," Breyer pointed out. "Besides," Gabriel went on, ignoring his fledgling's comment, "there's nothing clandestine about this. We're exchanging envoys." Breyer just looked at him, not bothering to point out that people of Gabriel's or Schechter's rank didn't do simple handovers. "Fine, then," Gabriel pouted. "Maybe it's a little clandestine." Breyer seemed happy with Gabriel's admission, settling back in his seat with a small smile on his face, his blue eyes dancing as he stared out the tinted window to his right. Gabriel watched his reflection, a lazy smile on his own face. Breyer had such expressive eyes, bright and happy when he was relaxed, dark and hot when there was something he wanted, cold and terrifying when he was angry. Sometimes Gabriel found himself deliberately provoking him just to take stock of the reaction. It was a pastime that he refused to feel guilty about. He didn't even bother to hide it anymore. Enough people in his circle knew the story, that Breyer's eyes had been what attracted Gabriel in the first place. He and Schechter were still together then, traveling the countryside well before their kind had even contemplated long-term settlement. Even after 6 decades together, Gabriel was reluctant to leave his sire, too wrapped up in the familiar comfort that came from being at his side. That single-minded attachment changed the minute Gabriel looked up from across a sloping field of knee-high grass and caught sight of the bluest eyes he'd ever seen. He was hypnotized by them so completely that Schechter stopped speaking, trying to catch Gabriel's attention by snapping his fingers. Gabriel couldn't explain it. He had no words beyond beautiful and want, need and desire. Schechter agreed to stay for a while instead of moving on as they usually did, even though it was exceptionally dangerous to stay near such a small settlement. Gabriel was grateful and took to stalking the human at every opportunity, finishing with his duties early in the evening and creeping out to the Breyer farm to peer in through dirty windows and watch him sleep. There was no shame in the attachment. Their kind had such strong emotions. They sometimes led to rash decisions, but not all spur-of-the-moment actions were wrong ones. Breyer himself His loyalty and the fierceness with which he protected those who were his is proof enough of that. "We're slowing down," he said, turning away from the window, completely unsurprised to find Gabriel staring at him. Gabriel nodded and waited for the limo to come to a complete stop before opening the door and sliding out into the night. Briar followed suit, straightening his tie as he did, ever the presentable one. A dark sedan was parked a few feet away, its driver leaning half out the open window, his mouth pressed against that of a vampire with a young, innocent-looking face. Gabriel wasn't fooled by the sweetness. Cash Colligan was brutal when he wanted to be. His favorite game involved destroying whole families of hunters, one at a time. Gabriel cleared his throat loudly, and Colligan kindly drew his tongue back into his own mouth, though he took his time pulling away completely. When Gabriel could see the other vampire's face, he just shook his head. It figured it would be Marshall. "Colligan," Gabriel said. "Supporta," Colligan replied with a cheeky smile. Gabriel rolled his eyes and Colligan laughed. He stepped away from the car and clasped Gabriel's shoulder before nodding at Briar. He didn't linger after that, simply swaggered back to the limo. Gabriel reminded himself that even though their ranks were not equal, Colligan was, technically, his elder. The knowledge burned a little. Gabriel waited until he heard the limo door slam closed, before he turned his attention to Schechter, who, thankfully, didn't seem angry to have been so rudely ignored. He was leaning against the hood of the sedan, slowly twirling an ebony walking stick between his hands as he watched Gabe with an amused expression. He was immaculately dressed in a charcoal suit with fine pinstripes and a light blue shirt with matching tie. Gabriel made a note to ask about his tailor. "Gabe," Schechter said with a smile. Gabriel returned it and let Schechter pull him closer. Too much time had passed since their last meeting, and Gabriel hadn't even realized just how much he'd missed the easy affection between them. There was still communication. Letters, phone calls, envoys serving as intermediaries. But face-to-face contact was rare. There was only so much time one could be away from the heart of their city, even if they were only traveling to the border. Still, they were doing better than some of the others, whose cities didn't border one another, or were clear across the country. Briar came up behind them and stopped half a foot to the left, waiting to be acknowledged. With anyone else, he would have situated himself right at Gabriel's side, but this was Schechter they were meeting. He would remember his place. "Robert Briar," Schechter said fondly, reaching out to clasp his hand. "The last time I saw you, you and Gerard were leading my dear Michael away." His tone was nonchalant, and his demeanor perfectly conversational. But Gabriel knew it wasn't entirely real. There was nothing casual about the conversation. How could there be when they were discussing the only fledgling of Schechter's favorite child? Yes, he'd let Mikey leave the city, but that was only because Gerard had taken such care of him, all extreme patience and gentle praise. The poor boy had been delirious and half feral with hunger and confusion. It was little wonder he'd bonded with the first vampire who'd found him. Gabriel shuddered to think of what would have happened had it not been a dandy, a visiting one at that, who'd pulled Mikey away from the sunrise. While Gabriel enjoyed Mikey's presence in his city, he couldn't help but wonder how different he would have been if Beckett's brat hadn't killed Cortez before Mikey had even woken for the first time. Schechter would summon the boy back if he ever thought Mikey wasn't doing well. He'd be upset to be parted from Gerard, but no one would really question the order. For Schechter to lose not only his favorite fledgling, but also the boy he'd turned before dying? It was beyond cruel. "How is he?" Schechter asked.
"It's difficult,"
Ryer said carefully. "The call to return is so much stronger in the young ones, but he's less confused than Frank is, I would say." "Frank," Schechter said, with a smile that Gabriel didn't much care for. Nothing good could come from what he was about to say, not when Briar was standing there. Gabriel was entitled to his secrets, a fact which Schechter well knew. Not wanting to deal with the potential fiasco, Gabriel motioned toward the sedan with a barely perceptible tilt of his head, knowing that Briar would see it and understand. The younger vampire nodded and made his way to the back and slid in. Gabriel waited for him to close the door before turning his attention back to the matter at hand. "And how happy is Gerard to have Frank back?" Schechter asked.
"Very," Gabriel replied.
"What about Ray?" Schechter asked. "Or have you left him in Victoria's City?"
"Ray hasn't come home yet," Gabriel said. "Next week, most likely."
"And have you thought of how you're going to explain it? Frank will recognize him the minute he sees him," Schechter pointed out.
"That's where you come in," Gabriel said with a smile. "After all, it was your vision that told me where to find Gerard's boy."
50 years ago, Schechter said.
"I don't have to explain myself to Gerard," Gabriel said simply. "There's a time and a place for everything. Patience is a virtue."
"It did work out remarkably well," Schechter admitted, twirling his walking stick again. "Gerard is a lovely thing when he's angry. He's left Beckett City in an uproar. Everyone is talking about it."
"Is it time, then? Should we approach Maya?" Gabriel asked, trying to rein in his excitement and keep his composure. Beckett had yet to slight him personally. His fondness for Mikey and his love for Schechter didn't count, not really. But that didn't mean he wasn't willing to side with whoever had a legitimate complaint.
"Not yet," Schechter advised. "We need to tread a fine line with this, Gabriel. One dandy leader has never ousted another, let alone two or three of them working together to accomplish that goal. We need it to happen from inside his own city."
"Gerard may have caused an upheaval, but there's no way he left that kind of chaos behind," Gabriel said doubtfully. "The mesmerist is on the outs for sure, but he doesn't have the strength to unite the others. Besides, he's too young, barely 30 years gone."
"The mesmerist will have his part to play," Schechter said confidently. "But his is only a small role in a grander scheme. It's John Walker we have to wait for." Gabriel was surprised at that. His dealings with Walker had been few and far between, but he didn't seem the type to stage a coup.
"Is this speculation?" Gabriel asked. "Or have you seen something?"
"Do I ever answer that question when you ask it, Gabriel?" Schechter answered with a smile. He had a point. Schechter had never been all that forthcoming with his visions, especially when they involved future events as opposed to information that had simply been lost or withheld. He'd had no problems informing Gabriel of Frank's location, but he'd been unwilling to tell him about the probable death of a human girl he'd had his eye on. The very nature of the future was fluid, ever-changing, and sometimes just telling someone about a possible outcome was enough to change it completely. He'd learned the lesson the hard way, and, some whispered, had learned it once again with respect to Cortez and his death at the hands of Pete Wentz.
"Walker's strong," Gabriel conceded after a moment. "But no one is predictable under these circumstances. Unless... His voice trailed away as he thought back to Gerard's report, to something he'd barely mentioned, whether out of respect for Walker or because he honestly hadn't thought it relevant at the time. He'd gotten Walker to back down, to leave the young mesmerist without allies. There was only one thing that could make a vampire take off so quickly. Funny how it was the very same thing that could also inspire them to tear an entire city apart with single-minded determination. He has someone, Gabriel said. He did, Schechter corrected. A boy, Gabriel murmured. Special, if he caught John Walker's attention. Blue eyes, Gerard said. Schechter nodded, apparently seeing no reason to keep that part of his premonition to himself now that Gabriel had figured it out, though he doubted that Schechter would get more specific. That blue-eyed boy is going to change everything, Schechter said. His smile turned slightly wicked, and he leaned forward, gently touching the handle of his walking stick to Gabriel's shoulder. Why else would I have encouraged you to let Gerard go on his hunt? Gabriel stilled, looking at Schechter with eyebrows drawn. Schechter hadn't encouraged, so much as mentioned how long it had been since Gerard had opportunity to test his skills. And even that had happened 2 days before Gabriel learned of Ray losing Frank's scent at the border of Victoria's city. He'd obviously been played. Gabriel should have been used to it. This was his sire, after all. When one could sometimes see the future years in advance, one got very good at subtle manipulation. Well, it's worked out so far, Gabriel said tersely. That's the main thing. Yes, Schechter said emphatically. It is. You'll keep an eye on Briar, won't you? Gabriel asked, seeking out the younger vampire's gaze from where he sat in the sedan, waiting patiently. I think he might be smitten, you know. Schechter was surprised at that. He laughed and shook his head. With whom? He asked. Ah, Gabriel said with a coy smile. Now it's time for me to know, and you to find out. Fair enough, Schechter said. He reached out and made a mess of Gabriel's hair, before pulling him down to press a kiss against his forehead. The end.